Our gospel reading for this morning comes from John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails on his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Please be seated. We thank you, God, for the light of your love. We thank you for the light of your church. We thank you for the light of your word. May your light and love and word shine in us and on us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain things you can count on every year when Easter rolls around. TV stations put on classic epic movies like The Ten Commandments, The Greatest Story Ever Told, and Ben-Hur. The Passion of the Christ shoots to the top of the streaming charts. And TBS always runs a Harry Potter movie marathon. Although I'm not sure what Harry Potter has to do with Easter, although there is a resurrection stone involved. You can also count on something else while our attention is focused on the church's big day. It's that new research reporting about the state of faith and the state of the church often comes out on Holy Week. And last week, during Holy Week, PRRI, the Public Religion Research Institute, published a new study called Religious Change in America. The research, like so much of it these days, was not encouraging. They reported that the only major religious category experiencing growth in the United States today is the unaffiliated, meaning those unaffiliated with any religious tradition. That is around one quarter of Americans, 26%, 5% more than in 2013. The vast majority of the religiously unaffiliated appear content to stay that way. Only 9% of religiously unaffiliated Americans are looking for a religion that is right for them. And while most disaffiliate from a religion simply because they stop believing in the faith that they were raised with, today, negative treatment and teaching about the LGBTQIA+ community, mental health, and clergy sex abuse scandals also play a prominent role in people leaving the church. Church attendance among Americans is down significantly, and fewer Americans say that religion is important in their lives. These trends all started about 30 years ago in the mid-90s, and they were accelerated by the pandemic. They are echoed in the data from our own Southeastern Pennsylvania Synod and across the ELCA, our national church body. I watched a panel discussion on this and other recent religion research, and the panelists pointed out that as a church and a society, we are losing something very important here, and not just membership and attendance. With the decline of religion and the thinning of participation in faith communities, we are losing a vital face-to-face forum where people from different walks of life meet, gather, and connect with each other. We're losing a kind of cultural connective tissue that is good for the health of society. Not to mention that church attendance is correlated to a host of positive factors, including increased tolerance, volunteerism, ties to the community, and civic engagement and responsibility. This report and others like it remind us not to take days like this for granted, where we welcome 21 new members to our church, including 4 baptisms. And it asks us to take a moment to appreciate how special this is, for our new members to find a church that feels like home, and as a church to be found and affirmed in our mission and ministry. As the poet David White writes, "There is no house like the house of belonging. There is no house like the house of belonging." Or in the words of the psalm today, "How good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity." These are Sundays of hope, reminders of resurrection. Been there. Sometimes you just want the toy you want. That's all there is. It's all good. These are Sundays of hope, reminders of resurrection. As new life springs forth while reports of the decline of the institutional church are all around us. Today's like today point to a common longing for community and search for meaning, a common desire to love and serve others, and a common hope found in the stories of the Bible and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Which brings us to the resurrection appearance to Thomas in our gospel reading today. According to John's gospel, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene outside the empty tomb on Easter morning. Then he appeared to his disciples that Easter evening. But Thomas was not there. He missed it. And although his fellow disciples told him what had happened, he would not believe it unless he would touch Jesus' wounds. Jesus appeared a week later, the following Sunday, which, by the way, is this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. He appeared to Thomas and the disciples, and Thomas touched his wounds, his hands, his side. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And this week I've been struck by the physicality, the face-to-face, the in-personness and up-closeness of this story. Professor Amy Jill Levine writes that John wants us to experience the gospel viscerally, not only by reading the words, but with sight and sound, smell and taste. The good news should impact all our senses, so that the world we encounter in its light, its sound, and its taste is transformed. In the story of Thomas, we have the sense of touch, which necessitates being together, which is vital for faith. As the reporting on religious trends tell us today, we find ourselves swept up in a larger societal trend, moving away from institutions and affiliation. In general, we are more isolated, getting together less often, and when we do, it's with people who are similar to us. We increasingly live in a world that is digitally mediated, and it's wonderful to have the ability to connect when we can't be together in person, like our worship live stream or hybrid meetings. Yet both religion and science tell us that when we gather together and sing together, laugh and cry together, we are changed spiritually, neurologically, physiologically changed. We are strengthened, reassured, comforted, healed, and inspired to help others. Studies say that just singing together reduces stress hormones and boosts the body's ability to fight serious illness. Studies have found a connection between singing generally with lessened anxiety, stimulated memory for those with dementia, increased lung capacity, and an easing of postpartum depression. It promotes social bonding, which contributes to a sense of belonging and joy, fosters trust, cooperation, and social cohesion. And I think in all of this, here, we are the evidence of resurrection for each other. We are the evidence of resurrection for each other. My hands and your hands, my wounds and your wounds, your story and my story, we are the evidence for each other. It reminds me of a saying attributed to the medieval mystic St. Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world. Yours are the hand, yours are the feet, yours are the eye, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. We are Christ for one another. We are evidence for each other of the resurrection. I see it when we share the peace, which goes on comically long here at Upper Dublin, where we shake hands and get up out of our pews, and here we touch the hands of Christ. So of course we want it to go on and on and on, to shake every hand that we can. Or when we join hands to pray, or when we join hands to serve, when bread is placed in our open hands at communion, we are touching the risen Christ. My old chaplain used to say in college that about Christianity, that whether or not you believe that Jesus did all that he did, the effect that he had on others was undeniable. He said that you can see the power and truth in Christianity in the people who came after Jesus, the first disciples and apostles, who were so captivated and inspired that they turned it into a global movement, so that the story would continue to be told and people would continue to gather around the good news and be Christ for one another and their neighbors, that we would continue to be, even now, evidence for each other. We experienced that each Sunday and between Sundays. We certainly felt it last Sunday on Easter, and we experience it here in a special way today as we welcome and celebrate our newest members. So that along with Mary Magdalene, who encountered Jesus at the tomb, and then the disciples in the upper room to say together, we have seen the Lord. And finally, we hear in the first letter of John from those early disciples and apostles and believers, we declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. What we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. And today, indeed, it is. Today, as we welcome these new members and celebrate these baptisms, our joy is complete. Amen.